St. Cloud School Superintendent Lori Putnam joins me each month. She joins me now. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, this is a short week. It's probably exciting for all staff and students and people looking forward to getting a bit of a break here. And this is important, right? I mean, it's kind of mid-year approximately. Is it nice for everybody to kind of take a step back, spend some time with family and friends, and then come back at it in early January?
You know, that's a complicated question. For many people, yes, absolutely. I would say many of us, students, staff, administrators, everyone included, is ready for a break. I would say that, you know, the challenge comes in over breaks where if we have, you know, families who are experiencing food insecurity, you know, that it can create, you know, a hardship, you know, when now our students are able to get breakfast and lunch daily. So I do think that also can cause some anxiety, perhaps some challenge. So it's certainly sometimes for some people a double-edged sword.
Does the school district offer any assistance or recommend anything for any of these individuals that are fighting from, you know, food shortages during breaks like this one and the one coming up in the spring?
You know, over the last few months, we've been distributing food boxes in partnership with Catholic Charities. And so we did give those out all through last week just to try to support. You know, this, unfortunately, the school district doesn't receive any funding, and we aren't actually legally allowed to provide food when we are not providing education to go along with it. So we have to rely on our community partners and certainly have shared resources with families about where to go to get some assistance if needed.
Sure. Yeah. And yeah. I'm guessing that that's one of those things that you're aware of that. How many students do you have in your district approximately that are, I guess, like needing food assistance? It used to be, you know, we'd have a different name for it, but now I guess that's changed a little bit since everybody gets the lunch and breakfast.
You know, we still actually track that as required for the state and federal government for reimbursement. And so we have just under 70% of our students, which is just an astounding number.
Yeah, that is a big number for sure.
Yeah. About 7,000 of our students, right, would technically be described by the government as food insecure.
Wow.
That
seems like a large number. All right, so let's talk about some other things. Snow day. I know that we've had some snow events already this year. What is the district's policy on traditional snow days, and when do you go to e-learning, and how does that go from here?
Yeah, you know, so far we haven't used any full days yet. We have had an early release and a late start, and that goes to our commitment to whenever we can to have students in person. That's a commitment we make in partnership with our students, families, and staff, along with the area superintendents. So we have yet to have to cancel for a full day. For us, the first time we do a full day cancellation is a quote-unquote snow day, even if it's for cold, right? It means that there's nobody is reporting for school or for work. After that, we have some e-learning days, and then once we get beyond five, we would have to decide in partnership with the board if we need to make those up. At that point, we, you know, because the state requires a certain number of days, we would only have 3 days beyond that. So, I'm going to knock wood that we don't even get anywhere near that, and that we're able to have our students and staff at school.
Lori, I think it was the day before Thanksgiving. That was that Wednesday. That was a snow day. You didn't have school that day, but I think Sartell and Sauk Rapids did have school, so they had to close. If I remember correctly.
You are absolutely correct. So that was one of the few 4:45 a.m. calls I got to miss out on, unfortunately, or fortunately, as a KCB.
Yeah, because that's what it is. I mean, you get into those phone calls with the other superintendents that you're partnering with to determine, okay, what are we going to do today?
That's right. And we do a lot goes on behind the scenes. So even before we connect at 4:45 a.m., our bus contractors and our transportation teams are out driving roads. We're looking at, you know, getting information from city and county officials and trying to make the best decision we can to keep our students and community safe.
How about Apollo projects? I know last month we talked about that, and certainly there's been some progress made. Anything new in regards to both of those projects you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, we are pleased to say that the board has selected an official name for the new multi-purpose athletic facility. That's a mouthful, and that's what we've been calling it for a long time. It is going to be the Apex Athletics Center. That's the name for the new indoor facility. They chose that because it reflects both the height of the building. It will be a very large building. And the goal of reaching the top level of athletic training and performance. So the committee that recommended it, that was their rationale, and it ties to achievement, peak performance, excellence, all things that we want represented in that facility. So really, really pleased, and Principal Scalarud led that team of community members, staff, students, families, and just did a beautiful job there. So grateful. We are, the construction of the ambulance bay will begin in March, and so that's exciting. And then construction of the storm shelter begins in August. Of course, people will remember that that has to get done before we are able to begin on that safe and secure entrance. So that is very much a priority for us.
It's certainly going to be exciting to see the both construction projects, which the voters approved. And then, so in regards to the Apex athletic facility that you're putting in, is that going to be facing Veterans Drive? Is it going to be facing the Apollo campus? Do you know how that's going to be looking?
Yes, I'm glad you didn't ask me north, south, east, west. That's a challenge for me. But it will be facing, the entrance will actually be facing Apollo. So you'll pull into that that entrance off 44 and coming around that by the pond. But the entrance will be facing the building with the back to the veterans.
Can you tell me about the holidays that we celebrate here this month? Certainly different religions are going to celebrate different holidays. Is that something that any of your curriculum, do you bring that up? I mean, it's certainly in public schools, it's handled differently than it is in private schools.
Yeah, that's a great question. In our public schools, we don't celebrate religious holidays, but we absolutely acknowledge them and teach about them. Our responsibility is to serve students and families from many faith traditions, and also those who don't observe religious holidays at all. So we're thoughtful about staying neutral while still trying to honor the traditions and experiences that many and rituals, right, that many of us hold dear. So while we don't necessarily promote any, we do certainly, you'll still see seasonal learnings, opportunities for music and reflection and celebration in the schools.
Are you close to agreements with all the individuals, the different factions of the district? I know we talked about that last week or last month, that you had some agreements. Are you making progress with others?
You know, we have our LPNs, sign language interpreters and bus drivers are complete. We do have a tentative agreement also with custodians, and then we continue to work on the remaining bargaining groups. In fact, I believe we have a negotiation session even later today with our principals unit, and then have many more scheduled in January and February. Hoping to get that wrapped up just as soon as we can.
So the timeline is to try to get it done early this next year?
That would be our dream. We had truly hoped to have it done before we even left for winter break. Unfortunately, that did not happen for all of them. So we certainly want to get that contract settled for everybody just as soon as we can.
Do you anticipate any challenges with any of these specific groups?
You know, I think the challenge is that our funding comes from the state, and we can only spend what we have. And certainly we all want livable wages for our staff. And so really there's that tension of rising healthcare costs with what the available funds that we have to be able to allocate towards staffing costs. So I think that's really the challenge, right? And it's certainly not unique to us. It's what you see in every district. But those are really the themes we hear. Astronomical, and this is not unique to education, right? Astronomical rises in healthcare, and really trying to lower those premiums as much as we can, while also balancing the need to increase wages. It's a challenge just across the state.
Laurie, any successes in the school district you wanted to mention that happened in the last month?
You know, I will say that I'm very pleased and excited that the board approved our elementary boundary redesign. That had not been done across the district since the 90s. And so we spent many months, got feedback from anybody and everybody who wanted to give us feedback, made changes along the way, and were able to present the plan in early December to the board. And that got finalized on the 17th, last Wednesday. So now we're really able to move forward with enrollment. Kindergarten registration is starting. It's hard to believe. It's not even the new year, but it's beginning already online, so that we're able to give families very clear information about where their home school is and what they might need to do if they wanted to look at a transfer. And all of that is available online with an address finder. So just an incredible amount of work went into that process. 20, 30 iterations of maps as we try to balance across the district in a way that both provides the fewest change as possible, while also accounting for, looking at data for the next 10 years out and trying to really make a thoughtful decades-long decision. Which, sometimes runs into the competing of the now, priorities for the now, with families not wanting to move, which I understand, but also needing to be thoughtful about this so we aren't redoing it every few years. So really excited about having that behind us.
Laurie, thanks for your time. Appreciate it as always. Happy holidays to you. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you. Same to you, Jay.
That's Laurie Putnam, St. Cloud School Superintendent, joining us each month here on WJON.